Well, in case you didn't all figure that out, that was the drama. There's a story about a great linguist who was able to keep silent in six different languages, and I was thinking about that and just thought, you know, the six of them, it'd be nice if they keep silent in just one language. But it was the language of Greek in which James wrote his teaching for today, a truth that translates very well into English. It goes like this: "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak." When I was a college student, I picked up a practice that I still continue until today, and that is to use a Latin abbreviation. It's NB, which stands for Note Bene, or Note Well. And when I was in college and I would take notes in the sense that a point was a particularly important point, I would write that NB, or even today, when I'm reading a book, if I really like something or really want to catch it, if I review that book again, I'll write in the margin, NB, note bene, note well. James included that right in the text of the Bible, James 1:19, when he said, take note of this. Not that what else he said was unimportant, but this is especially important. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, of course, by that, he does not mean that we should speak one slow word at a time. Nor does he mean that we should somehow be able to speed up our listening capability so that we can take in more words and somehow mentally digest them. No, he's telling us, first of all, that we should be quick to listen. To what? Well, actually, to find that out, we need to back up in what he wrote. And if you have a Bible, you may want to look at James 1:18, or it's on page 1881 in the Pew Bible. It's what we studied last week, saying that God chose to give us birth. That was referring to the new birth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So that's the word that is being referred to, that we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak. It is primarily the word of God, or what God has to say to us, that we be very anxious and fast to listen to God's communication. Each morning I have time for reading the Bible and for praying. And I write out, usually on a weekly basis, a list of matters about which I'm going to pray. And I have at the top of that list, first the word quiet, and then the word listen. And I've done that for me because I know that I'm too prone to be in a hurry all of the time. I know that I eat my food too fast. I know that I fill my schedule too full. And I tend to do all the talking when I pray. That when I pray, I tend to come to God and say, all right, God, this is what I've got going today, and these are the things I'm worried about, and this is what I'd like you to fix, and now I'm done, and I'm going to get on with it. And so I need to write a note to myself that says that when I pray, I start out by being quiet and listening to God. Often I'll actually take my hands and put them palms up as a reminder that this is time to take, not to talk. Time to listen, not to give. Not that I hear God speak audibly to me, although actually I would like it if he did. But rather it is to focus on the Lord, to meditate on what I have just read from the Bible, to be silent and still, long enough for his Holy Spirit to communicate with my spirit inside of me. Now, I'm not a mystical person by nature, so I'll tell you right now that this is hard for me. It's a hard thing for me to just sit there and be quiet and seek to listen. But it's important. It's important to listen to the God of heaven, not only with my head from the Bible, but with my heart through the Spirit. So when the Bible is telling us to be quick to listen, it is primarily talking about listening to God and listening to the word of the truth of God. But there's a secondary meaning of this advice to be quick to listen, and that is to listen to others, especially out of respect. For one of the ways that we show respect for other people is to simply listen to them. It is a disrespectful thing to always be the one to initiate and to dominate a conversation, to always be interrupting other people, to always be treating another person as an object intended primarily to hear what I have to say. It's really kind of selfish, actually. Several years ago, I was home alone when the phone rang, and I answered it, and the person who was calling started talking and talked nonstop for a long time. I think it was about 20 minutes, and I wanted to interact, so I periodically said, uh-huh, that was about all I got in, but it was more or less not during a pause. It was sort of over the top of what this person was saying. And I really tried to listen very carefully. I wanted to hear and understand what he had to say. Well, after about 20 minutes, the doorbell rang. And I said, excuse me, I need to just go and answer the door. I'll be right back. But he didn't stop when I said that. He just kept on talking. So I figured whoever was at the door would go away. But the doorbell rang again. So I said, excuse me, just I'll be right back. I need to just pause long enough to go. But he just kept right on talking. So I was upstairs in our house in the bedroom, so I took the phone and very carefully laid it down on the bed. And I went downstairs and I answered the door and dealt with the person that was there, and it took, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes. Went back upstairs thinking, you know, I've got to deal with what I've done here. Picked up the phone. He was still talking. I mean, he never knew I was gone. It was, you know, let's not be like that. Let's be quick to listen. Quick to listen to what other people have to say. Allow them to have a chance to speak, to hear them out, to show respect for others. But when we are too quick to speak, what that sometimes reveals is kind of a know-it-all attitude. That whatever subject you bring up, I have a better story than you do. Whatever topic you introduce, I know more about it. And so to interject what I have to say is to communicate that I already know everything and what I know is superior to what you know. Well, we can't learn if we do all of the talking. It's simple sense that we aren't doing learning. And if we want to learn, we need to listen. We need to absorb the knowledge, the information, the experience, and perspective of other people. I don't know about you, but I like to learn. I grow from that. I improve with that. And because I'm, I don't know, kind of in the people business, I suppose that I meet often a couple of hundred new people, maybe every week. And of course, there's not time or opportunity to hear all of them out or to get to know all of them as well as I would like. But I discover that every week there are plenty of great stories to hear. And when I hear people telling about their lives, when I hear them telling about their experience with God, I find that I'm greatly encouraged by that. That when I hear people share their needs, their problems, and their difficulties, I find that I'm humbled. Humbled and challenged to pray for them, try to help them. I find that when I hear other people talk about their insights into life, I discover things that I never thought of before. Sometimes it just amazes me that here someone has the key to something that I've struggled with or I've not understood, and here in a sentence or two they can sort of cut through it all. They can open the door, and I've learned, I've grown through listening. And so the Bible has for us here such practical, good advice from God that every one of us should be quick to listen, and that we should be slow to speak. Because if everyone just listened, obviously no one would talk and there wouldn't be anything to listen to. So we need to listen. And the Bible is again talking about the previous word of truth mentioned in James 1:18. That we are to hear the word of truth quickly, anxiously, with delight, and to take our time and then speak the word of truth. Whenever we speak about God, there is an assumption that the Bible makes, and that is that before we talk about who God is or what God thinks or what God does or the difference that God makes in anybody's life, that first we've listened to God tell us. Because the information about God has to start with God, not start with us. It is a tragic, actually, it's a foolish thing for someone to start talking about God who has never listened to God. For someone to tell about God as if God is based upon the formula of our thinking and speech. For that is simply not true. It's not the case. People make fools out of themselves making up a God to whom they have never listened. But the other side of it is, when we can speak out of experience from God, it is truly a wonderful thing. I suppose we've all heard when someone has spoken and you can just sense that that person knows what the Bible has to say. They can connect this piece with that piece. But deeper than that, here is someone who has been with God, has had God communicate with her. He has listened to God, and out of that rich, deep experience of listening to God, now finally speaks and has something well worth hearing, well worth saying. But as there is a secondary meaning with the listening, there's also a secondary meaning with the speaking, and that has to do with our relationship to other people. That when we speak, it should be to benefit the other person. Not primarily for our own benefit, although obviously we do benefit when we talk. If I say, hey, will you do me a favor? Then I'm asking you to do something for me, and I say that. Or if I call 911 in an emergency and I say I need help right away, that's for my benefit, and that's obviously appropriate. And if I engage you in conversation, I'm sure to gain from that conversation. But let's especially be careful that when we talk, we help someone else. Mothers have been famous for saying, if you don't have something good to say, then don't say anything at all. Well, that's very much in keeping with what the Bible is explaining in James 1:19. Speaking to benefit others is often connected to the pauses in speech and in conversation. We all have these moments, sometimes maybe only a second or two or a fraction of a second, but moments of silence. Even in the most animated of conversations, there are these brief, quiet times. Often we use those quiet times to think about what we're going to say next. Or if we don't have enough time in the quiet time to think about what we're going to say next, then we quit listening and plan our next statement. All that's here that is being suggested is take an extra second. Or an extra half second. In those pauses, just stretch them out long enough to ask the question, how is what I am going to say going to benefit the person to whom I am talking? After all, words have a huge impact on a person's life. You can say one sentence and lift a person to the point of euphoria. You can make that person happy and change the direction of a person's life forever with a single sentence. But with a single sentence, even with a single word, it is possible to just cut someone down and destroy another person's life. There's a difference between saying, I love you, and saying, I hate you. And so it's worth the pause. It's worth the second, or if need be, the minute, to take long enough to be slow to speak in order to be sure that that which we speak is for the benefit of the person to whom we are speaking. Or it could be maybe not the person to whom we're speaking. We could be speaking to a third person. It might even apply to the things which we write down, that before writing a letter or sending a note, we ask, do these words really honor God, and do these words really help, or do they hurt some other person? We need to ask ourselves, are these words prepared in love? And if the answer is ever no, then the words ought to be left unwritten or unspoken. Years ago, I sat down at my typewriter one day, and I scorched out a few letters that were pretty candid and cutting in the things they said. And I truly believe that it was an interruption from God that caused me to stop long enough before mailing those letters and think again about what I was doing. And it was out of that experience and the unmailing of those letters that I developed a habit to always take some time before ever sending such correspondence, that if in doubt, I should always ask myself some really practical questions. Ask myself, would I like this letter to be publicly read at some future date? To ask myself the question, if it were publicly read, would it please God? Read next week or month or several years out. To ask the question, do these words that I have here written down, do they build up? And do they reflect the love of Jesus Christ? One time I wrote a letter that I held for several weeks and then took it back out of my desk drawer and read it again. Tried to read it from both the perspective of a stranger and the perspective of God. I tried to imagine if someone else picked this up and copied it and circulated it around, how that would reflect on Jesus Christ and, frankly, how it would reflect on me. And again, I think God was helpful in that he convinced me that those were words that should never be sent. And I destroyed my own mail. You see, it's all part of being slow to speak, so that we'll be sure that what we do speak or write, the words that we use, are for the benefit of someone else. And when we do speak, some of our speech should be to learn. Not just to communicate what we want to have communicated, but our speech should be like a hook that draws the very best out of other people. It's asking questions. It's when I meet new people, I love to say, just tell me about yourself. Kind of open-ended. And then to just drink in the amazing experiences and history and information that people have that blesses me and benefits me. I find that there is a direct connection between good listening and asking questions. That most people, they want to know if we're really interested before they're going to reveal themselves, before they're going to tell us the good that they have. And one of the best ways of doing that is to use our speech to encourage and to draw them out so that we can grow and benefit. In a sense, it's almost a selfish thing, so that I can use speech not just to instruct, not just to tell, but also to learn. Now, let's be really practical about this bit of wisdom from the New Testament. That if we're serious about being quick to listen, slow to speak, that we can do some things that will help us to develop, first of all, our listening skills. Number one is to care about other people. Actually, that's the bedrock of it all. Because truly caring for someone else transforms the way we listen. When another person senses that we love, that we care, that we're kind, then they know that we will hear what they have to say. So being caring is up front, the beginning of the listening process. Number two is to listen to understand, because there's a difference between listening to hear and listening to understand. It's harder to listen to understand. It's easier to just sort of be mechanical, like a tape recorder that says, all right, I take it in, I heard everything that you had to say, well, I have no idea what you're talking about, but to understand it is engaging. It's participating. One of the most practical ways of doing that is something that takes a little bit of time and certainly takes some work, but is well worth the investment. And that is when talking to someone else, to feedback and say, well, let me tell you what I understand you to be saying. And then to rephrase it in our own words, not just parrot back the words the other person has spoken, but to put it into my words. By the way, that's a great thing to do when we pray. To say, God, I read your book And here's what I understand you to be telling me from it and how I can apply it to my life. And if that's not right, God, I'd like you to instruct me and correct me and help me. It's looking at the day ahead and saying, God, here are the plans that I have. I have some hard decisions, and at least preliminarily, these are the decisions that I think I'm going to make. And I understand that this is what you want me to do. Now, God, is that right? Am I hearing you correctly? Am I sensing the direction that you're giving me? You see, listening is more than hearing. It's understanding. It's, again, asking questions. Just as it's good to repeat what we've heard, it's good to ask for clarification and explanation. To use questions that will help the other person to say it in a different way. Because sometimes people say things and they don't have quite the words that communicate what's on their minds and in their hearts. And by asking for a further explanation, asking them to repeat it in a different way, often we can draw out of them what they truly mean, but maybe don't have quite the skill to communicate. You can always sense if someone is really listening by the good and the appropriate questions which they ask. And a fourth suggestion is simply to give feedback, but it's feedback that goes beyond this rephrasing. It's feedback that goes beyond questions. It is engaging ourselves in what the other person has to say. Not to force our opinion, but to state our opinion. To say, well, that's interesting because I would connect that with something you said earlier, or I have an experience, but it's not to dominate it. It's not to shut off what they're talking about, but it's to participate with them, to say, I'm really interested and I want to hear more and better. And so I'm feeding back to you my response to what you're saying. Now, just as we can develop listening skills, it's also good, if we're going to be slow to speak, to develop speaking skills. It's true that we should be slow to speak, but do speak. I think that this advice from the Bible can sometimes be misused. There are those who say nothing at all. And when that is done, that is often an expression of arrogance, of pride, of control, of manipulation. Probably we all know about that in interpersonal relationships, where you're talking with someone and you or the other person just stops talking, just won't say anything at all. Or you've been to a business meeting or to a party where there's someone who just won't say anything. Sometimes people will go so far as to not even answer simple questions, or they'll just give you the briefest possible answer. And understand that that's a power play. And it is, at its core, unchristian. It is saying that I will use the power of silence to demean you, to control you. I will, with silence, show my disrespect and contempt. So understand what the Bible is saying, that we should be slow to speak, but do speak. And that we should think before we say. It seems so obvious that we take that extra moment to think through ourselves. What are the implications? Whether what we are saying will accomplish wonderful good or terrible evil in another person's life. We need to be sure that we wait before we say, that what we say has some content to it, that it has some value. We're not talking here about lengthy periods of time, but just a long enough wait to be sure that what we're going to say is what we should say. When I was in high school, I wrote a term paper that I remember better than almost any term paper. I got the paper back, and to my delight, in red ink across the top was written A. And then it was all crossed out, and instead it said C. And then the teacher wrote under that, at first reading, this was an excellent paper. However, upon rereading, I discovered that you said absolutely nothing. Now, thinking before we're saying is not about saying it in flowery words. It's not about filling the time or filling the space. It's about communicating the right thing. It's about having some content, some good content, that reflects well upon God and us and benefits the other person. And the third principle is that if in doubt, we should keep quiet. Because we all know that misspoken words can never be retrieved. We've all done it. We've said something in the heat of the moment that's been blurted out, and we know that we didn't really mean it, but it's been said. The wound has been inflicted. And immediately or later we say, I'm sorry. The other person may say, I forgive you. The apology is taken care of, and the relationship goes on, but there's a scar that's left, an unnecessary scar. Sometimes a scar that can be seen and brought back to attention again and again. So understand the principle that if there's a joke that is sexually explicit or racially unkind or personally demeaning, if in doubt about it, just don't tell the joke. Or if there's a complaint or a criticism that we are thinking about declaring, but we have malice on our hearts, it's best to just forget it and to leave it unsaid. Or if we're feeling anger inside, and that anger inside is starting to shape our words that are spoken on the outside, usually it's best to just leave it unsaid. If in doubt, keep quiet. Now we've heard the very practical advice of the Bible, for it is a very practical book, that we should note bene, note well, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Before we go, we're going to try it. We're going to practice a little bit, focusing our hearts on God and reflecting upon ourselves. We're going to take a few moments and just listen. When we listen, don't listen so much to the music, but take it as an opportunity to say to God, speak, Lord. Speak in the stillness.
Please stand for the benediction. Our Lord, we have heard the request of James, and now help us to learn to stop, to be silent, to be quick to listen, to hear the word of truth. And may we stop and think and be slow to speak, to use words that build up rather than tear down, so that we might speak the word of truth. Slow to speak, quick to listen, today and as a way of life. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Adi Wallamorman is a student at the University of Minnesota, and he comes this morning as our faith story guest. Comes from a distant land, but he's one with us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shares that story with us this morning.
I came from the country of Indonesia. I've been in the United States for 1.5 years. The shirt I'm wearing today is a typical Indonesian cloth called batik. In case you don't know anything about Indonesia, it is the fourth biggest country in the world next to the United States. United States is the third. My country is made of 13,000 islands, and the islands are between Australia and Singapore. Australia is on the bottom and Singapore is near the top. My country is right on the equator. I came from Jakarta, which is one of the largest cities in the world. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world, but my background is Buddhist. But I was a nominal Buddhist. I read the ritual, but I do not really understand. I do not really believe in Buddhism. I was more a universalist. I believe all religions were equal, all the same, and that God was the same God, only worshipped by different religion. Then I came to study in the United States at University of Minnesota. Then I met other Indonesians who were part of the group called Indonesian Christian Fellowship. This is a group of about 35 Indonesians who meet weekly for fellowship, Bible study, and worship, and prayer. I became friends with several of them, and I noticed that they know something that I don't know about Christianity. And they make me curious and make me want to know more about Christianity. At the time, I was reading a Buddhist religious book, which was really confusing me. Being a universalist, I think then, why not I read a Bible instead? Maybe it's going to be easier for me. So I read the Bible and asking questions, and I began to understand something about Christianity. Then I noticed that my former roommate had 4 spiritual laws in Indonesian. So I asked him if I could borrow it and read it. And that night, February 20th, 1993, I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior because I wanted to have the joy from God, the joy that makes others joyful if they are with me. I accepted Jesus because I could see the light of God shining from those who believe in Him. I accepted Jesus because I wanted to have the truth that I can always hold on when I'm in trouble. There are still many reasons why I accepted Jesus. I knew very little about Jesus and His teaching at that time. One thing I believe is that I was sinful and only Jesus could save me. Then I confessed my sin and asked Him to come to my heart, and He did. I prayed to Him that night that although I didn't know much about Him, I trusted Him to teach me every moment of my life. I pray that He would not be disappointed in me. I pray that He would help me build up my faith in Him. I pray that He will always help me to obey and understood His word. I know I was doing the right thing, and I need His help to do it. Since my conversion, I have told others about what Jesus has done to my life. I told my mother, my brother, my roommate, and my old high school friends. Then in October 17, 1993, I was baptized here in Wooddale. I got baptized because I want to continue my obedience to the Lord. Other Christian growth experiences have been going to Urbana Mission Conference in last December. I learned more about missions and sharing my faith. And also recently I have been more active in the ICF group as a member of steering committee leadership. For 1 year the Lord has taught me, strengthened me, and never disappointed me. He did everything He promised for me when I accepted Him as my Savior. Now I can see a Christian life from a different perspective. Thank you.
The human mind is an amazing thing. Even the brain of an infant in the womb is able to distinguish certain sounds.
Oh, I just love listening to Pastor Anderson. This sermon is really speaking to my heart.
Human anatomy is just not an appropriate topic for a church sermon. It's a good thing the children are downstairs. This really upsets me. I don't know about that tie. Don't you think a teal color would be more flattering to his coloring?
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little,
toot, 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 talk a lot.
As I was saying, even when an infant hears in the womb affects the development of the brain. In fact, there was a recent study of women who were in their 32nd week of pregnancy.
I really needed to hear this today. His words are so profound, yet practical.
There needs to be a quote from the Bible first. A sermon is just not that meaningful unless you read from the Bible first.
Where is he going with this? I get so angry when I don't understand his train of thought.
Pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little, talk a little, cheep, cheep, cheep,
talk a lot, pick a little more, pick a little, talk a little.
At birth, babies heard three different stories. Will you be quiet?
Why, I never.
I've never been so insulted.
And we were listening so carefully.
Yeah, sure.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little, talk a little,
pick a little,
talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little,